Hey everybody, Ruby back at you, still in Washington, D.C. at Catalyst Con East, and I just came back from the closing keynote. So Catalyst Con is coming to an end. I suppose technically it has ended, even though I have one more party to go to tonight and I am flying out tomorrow morning to go back to California. I will be glad to get back to the warmer weather, that's for sure. And with any luck, I'll fly out tomorrow because supposedly there's a big storm coming in. Not sure whether that's going to affect my flight or not. But I got on the internet and actually learned how to program an alert to come to my phone by way of text to let me know if that flight is canceled or running late. So I'm going to cross my fingers and try and stay warm. They said it's only the people who are used to snow, which, like, I'm not in that group. They said it's only going to be 2 or 3 inches of snow. It's not that big of a deal. Alrighty then, I will try and adopt that attitude. I'll just be happy if I can get on the plane and get back home tomorrow. So, I wanted to actually talk a little bit more about one more thing that happened at the Ask Panel yesterday that I moderated, which I forgot to tell you guys about. This was pretty cool because we did the panel and then, of course, you save time at the end for questions. So, I asked if there was any questions in the audience. And if I'm not mistaken, it ended up being the very first person I chose to ask her question. And the very first words out of her mouth, she says, "Hi, I'm Strap-on Joe." And I swear to God, you guys, I was like fangirl up there on the raised platform behind my little draped table wearing, I think I was still wearing my strap-on at that point in time from the Strap-on Fashion Show. But I'm fangirl, man. We're talking Strap-on Joe. For those of you who don't know, you should probably Google her. Strap-on Joe is a sex worker who basically, I believe she's retired at this point, but she spent a fair amount of time traveling all over the country and servicing men who wanted to be pegged. She knows a hell of a lot about it. She's had a whole lot more experience than I have. We have crossed paths on the internet several times and had some really good discussions. I've learned some really important things from her. And so it was a thrill to have her in my audience, no less, asking questions and pointing things out. She added good information to some of the things that we had mentioned up in the panel. And one of the things that she mentioned was there was a lot of talk about, multiple orgasms are not only the territory of women now that prostate stimulation has become something that men are learning about. And her emphasis was, you know, not every man can have multiple orgasms, just like not every woman can have multiple orgasms, just like not every woman can have orgasms through penis and vagina sex, through just plain intercourse. So she didn't want there to be an emphasis on that, so that we had a lot of men out there feeling less than, or, you know, chasing after the Holy Grail that was ultimately not available to them because they were just not one of those guys who could do it. And there's a lot of talk about all different kinds of orgasms on the Aneros forum. And the Aneros forum guys will try and help you lead you through, you know, finding that orgasmic response. But at the same time, absolutely, there is no guarantee ever. Just like I will probably never have an orgasm through just vaginal penetration because I'm just not built that way. There are men out there who are just not built that way to orgasm through strictly anal penetration or prostate stimulation. So it was a really good point that she made, and it was just, it totally was a thrill. You guys, Strap-on Joe was in my freaking audience. Holy crap. It was really fun to be fangirl while I was behind the microphone. So that thrill continued this morning because I was in the hospitality suite, so kindly provided by Aneros and a lube company that I can't remember the name of, and they had coffee and pastries and things, and I ran into Joe again, and we sat down and talked for quite a while, and it's possible that Strap-on Joe and I may be collaborating on a few things in the future. We had a really, really interesting conversation and found out that we were both thinking of very similar future projects, so we might overlap those and join forces, and we're still talking about it, but I'm really encouraged that there's someone else out there that's wanting to spread the word and to open people's minds up to male anal play, prostate stimulation, pegging, all of that. The more people we have spreading the word, the more calm, knowledgeable, normal voices we have in this subject, the sooner things are going to change, and it will become less taboo, and it will stop having all of those stupid taboos and misconceptions connected with it. And let's see, what else can I tell you that I wanted to talk about? Leaving the panel behind. Yeah, the last you heard from me, I was headed off to a party to play Cards Against Humanity, the equal offender game. That's what I call it anyway. Oh my God, that was an amazing party. It was in a suite, but at one point in time, we literally had 33 people in that room. We were running out of cards, so we had to do teams. But at the same time, each round must have taken 10 minutes because there were so many of us. And it was a room full of sex educators, sex workers, sex geeks, sex nerds, you name it, or just people who love sex who wanted to come to CatalystCon. We had the best time. It was hysterical. And I am floored that we did not get shut down because we laughed so hard and made so much noise that any moment I was expecting the Hilton people to come up and knock on the door and shut us down. We were going loud and fun and full on until about 3 in the morning, at which time everybody decided that it was past time to run off to their rooms and go to bed or do whatever they were up to at that point in time. But I was the proud provider of the cards. Ashley Manta, beautiful sex educator, amazing woman out of California, she was the one who called the Cards Against Humanity game because I guess this is something that she's done before. I was a newbie to this, not to the game itself, but to being invited to share it with them. That exchange took place over Facebook some time ago, which is why I posted on Facebook before I left that I was gearing up for the Cards Against Humanity game. Ashley replied, "Well, crap, I forgot to bring the cards." Now, Ashley was already here. She flew in early. So I just walked down the hall to my daughter and her boyfriend's room, actually, and asked if I could borrow the cards for the weekend. That was that. And we had not only the main deck, but an expansion deck, too. So it was really cool to think that so many hands of so many people touched these cards who I totally admire. One person who was there, who I will mention, there's a bunch of people who were there who were amazing, but one person I was thrilled to actually shake hands with is literally the founder of the Enjoy company, the guy who designed the Enjoy toys. Yeah, we practically all like got on our knees and bowed to that dude. He's the maker of the Pure Wand and the Enjoy 11 and those amazing Enjoy butt plugs. Yeah, totally thrilled to meet that guy. He's been here all weekend. And there's so many other people, but okay, moving on from the Cards Against Humanity game. The closing keynote, goodness sakes. Here's who did the closing keynote. Carol Queen and Betty Dodson. Talk about icons in the field of sexuality. I was so blown away, and Betty Dodson was a hoot. First, let me tell you a little bit about Carol Queen. Most of what I knew about Carol Queen came from knowing her from the original Bend Over Boyfriend films. There's two of them, Bend Over Boyfriend 1 and 2. And she is in that film with her husband, Lawrence. And the two of them are actually showing how strap-on sex can be amazing, and they call those films Bend Over Boyfriend. The first one was a little more technical and a little less sensual and erotic. The second one was a little more erotic and a little less informational. So I saw those, and those were very instrumental in my formative times of really embracing this whole kink that I have of pegging. So it has been a thrill. I met Carol before at several other functions, and it has been a real privilege to shake her hand. And it was funny because I mentioned something about pegging, and she said, "Oh, that's what the kids are calling it." Now, I don't consider myself a kid, but it was a pleasure to have her say that. She's one of the original people that really put a lot of energy behind those films. So she was interviewing Betty Dodson. Oh, and by the way, Carol Queen is like the staff sexologist up at Good Vibes, which is a big company up in San Francisco, and she has done all kinds of work in the field of positive sexuality. If you want to know more, Wikipedia her, because she's amazing. So moving on to Betty Dodson. Wow. Betty Dodson was actually born in 1929, and she's just an intense sex educator and an author, and she's actually an artist as well. They started off the interview talking about how she had her first one-woman show of erotic art in New York City in 1968. And then she left the world of art to teach sex to women. Now, one of the big landmark things that she did was she wrote a book about masturbation for women. She's written several of them, but the first one that she wrote, she had to self-publish. It was called Liberating Masturbation. And it's funny because back then, literally, there were some drawings and things in it that classified it as porn. So technically, she was distributing porn. And she went on to write Sex for One, The Joy of Self-Loving, and Orgasms for Two, The Joy of Partner Sex. She produced 4 videos. But oh my lands, this woman is a firecracker. I have never seen or met or had my picture taken, because I actually had my picture taken with her, someone who is so unabashedly and totally sexual and is more sex positive. I've never seen anyone speak like that in my life, quite to the extent that she is. She talked a lot about her history, which was quite wild and fun. And, you know, a lot of this happened before AIDS, so there was a whole lot less worry about it. But mostly, it was natural to her. There was no shame. She grew up in farmland, and she had parents who were very open and natural about there being sexual desires and about masturbation and things like that. So she has a total no-nonsense approach about the whole thing. So one of the first things that she said is, what you don't know about old age is that it's a fucking blast. As long as you're still coming and you got your vibrator plugged in. So that's what this woman leads with. And she looks like a white-haired old grandmotherly woman. But it was pretty obvious that you don't be fooled by this. Do not be fooled. She is absolutely amazing. And the extent to which she really broke ground for all of us to enjoy the level of open sexuality that we do today, for us to enjoy porn, for us to be more open about everything, sex toys, and especially the edgy area that we run around in, the whole pegging thing. I went up and I had my picture taken with her. I introduced myself. It said, I'm Ruby Ryder, and I write and teach and blog and podcast about heterosexual strap-on sex. That's my deal. That's my passion. I was really kind of blown away that her mouth opened up and she said, I think I just found my dream woman. Betty is hysterical. I got a great picture of us hugging each other, and she was the best thing to do for the closing keynote, because the best phrase I can use to describe her is that she is unabashedly sexual. And to be unabashedly sexual in your freaking 70s is really quite an accomplishment. And from my perspective, it's a model. Oh my God, what a model that woman is. There's no reason to stop enjoying your sexuality. In fact, there's no reason to not enjoy your sexuality as fully as you would like to. And she is a real proponent of that. So it was an amazing closing keynote. It truly was. I encourage you also to go to Wikipedia and look up Betty Dodson. Check out her books, read them. Some of the material may seem a little bit dated, but if you appreciate how groundbreaking what she was doing back then was, it's really quite extraordinary. So one of the things that I started thinking about as this weekend comes to a close and I was walking around saying goodbye to people is how much more, in this particular conference, I have been aware of gender fluidity. I'm really appreciating that these days. One of the disclaimers that I do at the beginning of the ask panel is that the gender pronouns that we use are not intended to be discriminatory in any way, shape, or form, because the reality of today is that not every person who identifies as a man has a prostate, and not every person who identifies as a woman is lacking a prostate. So I do the disclaimer and say that we're going to use the convenient gender pronouns because they're convenient, but they're in no way meant to discriminate against anyone. And so I'm aware of all of this, and I have queer friends, and I run around in circles where there's all kinds of different orientations. On the other hand, there just seemed to be so many that challenged my usual assumptions, if you will. Absolutely. And I tried to pay very close attention when people were called a certain pronoun by someone it appeared that they knew very well, and it was the opposite of what I would have expected. And I tried also very hard to continue to call that person by that pronoun, no matter what my first instinct was. If it was a man who was obviously dressed up as a woman and people were calling her she, she's a she, period. And I loved that it challenged that part of me. I loved that it wasn't what I assumed, because when my world gets a little shaken up like that, it's delightful. It's a learning experience, and it's exciting. It's exciting as hell. And there is definitely something to be said for the mixture of the lovely curve of upper shoulder muscles on a man who's wearing lipstick and gorgeous clothing. So, you know, it was a fun weekend. And then also to see handsome man looking from the back turn around, and it's obviously either a trans woman or it's... Okay, now I got to make sure I'm doing PC and I'm getting this right, getting my terms right. No, that was wrong. It's a trans man. Or it is perhaps someone who doesn't identify as a transsexual but simply identifies as queer and so looks pretty gender neutral. It was fascinating. The whole weekend was so fascinating for me in terms of that whole gender fluidity thing, that it was an eye-opener and it was delightful. I met up with Kate from Fuse Toys earlier in the morning, and she kindly gave me another dildo to try, as if I didn't have enough already. But you know what? This one is really interesting to me, and it has been for some time. You've heard me talk about the Tango, which Happy Valley Silicone makes. Fuse is the line of toys that is their brand name for that. So Fuse makes the Tango, and they also make the single flared base dildos. But I have to say that the flared base on their Fuse dildos is different than any others that I've ever seen. I talked to the owner of this company at length at one point in time, and what we were discussing is the misnaming and mismarketing, the bad marketing techniques of calling the double strapless and harnessless. But putting that aside for a moment, I mentioned to him how that single dildo that he makes, one is called the Wild, W-I-L-D-E, and I can't remember what the smaller one's called, the Wild is the bigger one, have bases that are really interestingly formed. When I first looked at them, it didn't really appear to look like it would stay in the O-ring very well. But that's because of the way it's photographed from the side. The base looks a lot thinner in the photograph than it really turns out to be in real life. So that base is very, very specifically designed to sit right on the woman's vulva, right next to the clitoris, and there's also a hole to slide in a bullet vibe, which, oh my god, I won a a Tango bullet vibe. Yay! WeVibe was here for the weekend. It was one of the sponsors. And I put my name in it, or I tweeted something, and I won the Tango. So I've got a brand new bullet vibe to put in there as well. But I'm really fascinated by the base of this dildo and how it's going to translate in use, because I know that the man who owns this company used to be a fine arts type of guy, and he spent so much time designing his toys that I'm curious to see what it'll translate out into real use. So Kate, thank you very much for that gift, and I will try it out as soon as I have a chance. Ha ha. Yeah, and I did not have a chance this weekend. Not because there weren't opportunities, but because I actually was rooming with Lucas Brooks, who was on my ass panel. At the last minute, he didn't have a room to stay in, and so I offered mine, and we shared the hotel room and had a really lovely time together. He's such a great guy, and I'm sad that he's all the way in New York and I'm all the way in California, but I'm hoping I can convince him to come out to Catalyst Con in the West, or perhaps I'll be out here next year, hopefully, as well. But we had a lot of fun. He came to the Cards Against Humanity game last night, and yeah, it was a really nice connection to make. So there was no funny business going on in our room. Actually, it made it so that my suitcase was just a little bit lighter because I didn't bring any of my masturbation toys, quite frankly. I shared that with him, and he said, yeah, I didn't bring any of mine either. So yeah, it was excellent. So I'm going to actually leave it here, you guys. I got some wrapping up with business to do and getting ready for that party, which I'm losing a little steam for, but maybe a little caffeine would help. I look forward to being back in California and giving you a wrap-up podcast when I make it home. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. And as always, happy pegging.